Come one, come all to the WAN show. I hope this computer is working. I haven't actually turned it on yet. Oh boy.
And then you're gonna get prompted to BIOS update. Did you do it?
No, I haven't. I think it might actually just be broken.
Oh, wow.
Which would be spectacular. We're off to a great start today, guys.
Awesome. We got some interesting, some great, and some weird news. Steam users have the right to sell their digital games, as far as I know, just in France.
Or so says a French court. Valve has vowed to fight the ruling, so we're going to see how that goes for
interesting.
Them.
Interesting.
In other news, UFD Tech is moving out from South Africa back to the United States in order to seek better medical care for his son. We'll be able to discuss that a little bit later. Facebook plans to create an independent oversight board. Oh, yeah.
And YouTube just dunked a huge amount of creators' verification badges. Thanks, guys.
I happen to know someone who used to be verified who is no longer verified.
You probably know a lot
of people. Tell you I will tell you later. That's my hook. That's my hook. Intro.
So I think like almost everyone does. Honey! Squarespace! And Seasonic!
Oh, is Seasonic a sponsor today?
Yeah.
Cool. All right, let's go ahead and see if my laptop's working. And one, two. Oh, wow, look at that. Awesome.
Hooray.
Okay, cool, we're on. We're nice. On. We got a show today.
Nice background.
That's lucky. Thanks. I actually have no idea where that came from. I think it's just
probably
one of the
Windows images.
No, it's probably an HP thing. They probably included that for me.
That makes sense.
So why don't we jump right into the headline topic?
Yes.
A French court has ruled that Steam should... Okay, you know what? Here, let's go through our detailed notes first, and then we'll actually discuss. So, a new ruling by a French court has the potential to radically alter the way people buy, sell, and play video games, particularly online. Because the way that we used to buy, sell, and play video games back in the day of the physical cartridges was already like this. I could go to a store where they, from a manufacturer presumably, receive a shipment of games. I could buy it, and then once I bought it, yes, it was still governed by a licensing agreement. It was a license for the software. I didn't own it. The source code wasn't mine, but this copy of it was effectively mine to do with as I pleased. I could,
to a certain degree.
I could lend it to you, and then I could get it back from you later. I could sell it to you and then never get it back from you. I could lend it to you and never get it back from you. That happened a lot.
Woo! I think I might still have a couple games.
Or I could take it back to the store
and vice versa.
And, you know, get a trade-in credit towards another game. I could be a store whose entire business, RIP, is to...
Except for Willow Video Games.
Yeah! You are such a Willow fan.
I love those
How
guys.
Do they still exist?
Probably me.
Probably
no,
there.
I haven't even been in there in months, but they still rent videos.
I know, right?
Like, that's a notable amount of their business.
It's crazy, isn't it? I have a copy of Fanboys at home that my sister said I should watch. She said I'd like it. I've actually never seen the movie, but it has a Blockbuster sticker on the top of it, so clearly it was one of their rentals at one point. Anyway, the point is, it used to be that back when the game license was effectively tied to a physical object, there were rules that just sort of intrinsically existed, and they still do for physical copies of games. But for years, French consumer rights group UFC... Not that UFC. Courchoisier have been embroiled in a legal battle with Valve Corporation over several clauses in the company's Steam user agreement, particularly the one that states that you don't actually own games that you purchase on their digital storefront. You are merely subscribing for an undetermined period of time to the games in your library. So Here's the thing, though. This clause means that Steam users don't have certain basic consumer rights, like, for example, the ability to resell the games they buy. Now,
yeah.
Valve has gotten quite a bit more flexible over the way that people use their Steam games over the years. I still remember what a big deal it was when Luke figured out that, thanks to a new rule from Valve, he could mooch off of the Linus Tech Tips Steam account and play all the latest games. Because I wouldn't care, because effectively I was getting deeper save games that I could use for benchmarking, and he wins because he gets to play single player gaming experiences without buying the game.
Yeah.
Everyone's a winner.
It was great.
I was okay with it. Win. I noticed none of your PCs are actually, I think your stream just buys you every game now, don't they?
Pretty much.
Wow. You're still a mooch.
You know,
you found a better way to mooch.
I don't even have to ask anymore. I was, okay, what's that huge new game, Cyberpunk? Cyberpunk's not even going to be out for a while. And I, like, talked on stream for a little bit about how, like, I'll probably be playing that game because it seems really cool. And then someone just bought it for me. And I was like, oh, great. Sweet. it was awesome.
Yeah. First, you sleep in the bed of the dead guy.
Okay? Yeah. I haven't replaced that
you
yet.
You take all his cutlery.
Yeah.
Okay. Then you have people buying your...
Still got his couch.
You're not ashamed at all.
Still got his couch. His couch is wonderful. It's great.
Okay, for context, guys.
And his computer chair.
For context, guys, this was an estate sale for Luke's house. It came fully furnished. He didn't, like, steal it or anything. He bought it. It's just a little weird that he kept it all.
I didn't keep all of it. I got rid of some of it.
You sold it, didn't you?
The stuff that I got rid of was not really worth... Like, it wouldn't have... Nobody would have bought it.
Anywho, so to Valve's credit, over the years, they've actually gotten a lot more flexible with things like family sharing, which they haven't even locked down the same way that Spotify is planning to with their family plan, where you're all supposed to be at the same address and stuff.
So, no, but they will invalidate it every once in a while.
They do.
And you have to be like...
kind of nearby.
Yeah.
But it's nothing that can't be solved with a quick TeamViewer session.
Yeah.
So it's not really...
They're not aggressive
...a big deal. Yeah, exactly. They could be locking it down
far
tighter, and they're not. But something that people have been upset with Valve about for many, many years is the fact that you can't return a game basically after you've opened it. Although, they did loosen that. I think you can play it for like 20 minutes or something now. I forget
what
it is. 2 hours, is that right?
But I think it's fairly unofficial. But 2 hours seems to be the, like, if you ask for a refund within 2 hours, you'll pretty much just get it.
Got it.
Kind of limit.
So they've even got more flexible about that, but you cannot resell your games. When you are done with them, they just sit in your library forever. I have like 240 games in my library. I have a kind of a fun video that I'm planning coming up. So I might stream, maybe on Floatplane or something. That'd be kind of fun. But I might stream. Yeah, you love anytime I say the F word. You're so happy. But yeah, so I might stream it, but then also cut it together as a YouTube video.
Okay.
I'm going to play every unopened game in my Steam library.
Every unopened, so all 0 minute played?
Yeah.
Wow. Were you on the Humble Bundle stuff at all?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
In the early days.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, until I realized that my Steam library was just cluttered up with garbage that I've never played and some gems that I've never played. So we'll find out which is which.
Yeah.
I'm very short. Yep. I've never played FTL, for example.
I
have owned it for like 6 years.
I love that game.
I know you do.
Yeah.
Yeah. You had some chip or something. You're going to beat some mission. I don't know. It was in your stream.
Oh, I did the no shield.
Like
I did the no shield challenge.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares? Sounds lame. You're such a nerd.
It was really hard. I'm pretty, I'm proud of that accomplishment.
Did you do it?
I did.
Okay, good job.
Thanks.
Nerd. Okay. So, the District Court of Paris has struck down the notion that Steam sells subscriptions. According to the court, Steam sells game licenses, much in the same way that you owned a game license back when you bought a disc, or that you own a movie license when you buy a Blu-ray or whatever the case may be, and that consumers ought to have the right to do what they want with them. The court also took Valve to task for other practices, like holding on to Steam wallet funds when players leave the platform, their unclear moderation policies, not accepting responsibility if users' computers are harmed by software, even betas, sold on their platform. Now, The legal battle isn't over yet. Our notes say Valve is certain to appeal, which is an indication that these notes were done in the morning, because Valve has already said they are going to appeal. Regardless of the outcome of Valve's appeal, this could set off a series of similar challenges across the EU and therefore potentially elsewhere in the world. And this is big too. UFC Que Choisir has said that they plan to directly challenge other digital products and platforms. So, I mean, another great example of this. To my knowledge, once you have activated it, there's no way to sell a Windows 10 license.
Yeah.
They could end up going after freaking Microsoft. What?
And that would actually be pretty funky.
Yeah. Especially.
A lot of this would be really funky. What do you think?
I want
like kind of two different answers. One, gaming platforms, Steam, okay. Origin, Uplay, all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
Two,
software.
All other software.
Okay. Gaming platforms. I, as a consumer, do you want me as a consumer, me as a business owner? Which hat should I wear?
I think it's an overall. What do you think's best for like the world? You're gonna get different hats? I like it. That works. Is that your business owner hat?
How about me as Santa?
This gives me less to give away.
So I'm gonna go with Santa's kind of a business owner, right?
Okay.
Okay. So as a business
distributes
owner,
distributes goods.
I see games as I see the inability of people to resell games as necessary to enable the ongoing existence of certain gaming experiences.
Okay.
And I'm gonna explain what I mean by that. So COD is not gonna be affected by this, because for the entire lifespan that COD is still actively being purchased, like a particular COD game,
right,
it's all about the multiplayer experience. Nobody's buying a COD game in order to play through the single player campaign and then like be done the game. You pick it up every once in a while.
I'm sure there's three of you. Don't freak out.
Yeah, all dozens of you.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So something like a Dota 2, where obviously the business model has moved on, right?
Yeah.
From the single purchase, and then people just play against each other like forever paradigm. Like that's not sustainable unless you do, you know, community created servers, much like older games used to.
Yeah, so it's free.
Dota 2? Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that's why I was using Dota 2 as an example of something that has moved on from the paradigm of a single purchase.
Yeah. Okay.
And then the developer just kind of going, okay, the game's done, we're gonna make our next game. We're gonna make Dota 3.
Right.
Like that paradigm is sort of it's not dead, but many genres have moved past it, particularly in the multiplayer space.
Yeah.
But what about single player? What do they do? They have to either you know what? I'm not going to call them DLCs. I'm going to call them expansion packs, because for whatever reason, expansion pack is still an okay word to say, but DLC is a dirty one. They're the same damn thing. So single player could do DLCs. They could add extra dungeons or campaigns or characters or equipment, and they could expand on the game and get you to keep contributing towards their development efforts that way. Or they could move on to the next game and say, okay, that game is done. And the problem with that is that I think for a lot of consumers, they're kind of done with that game once they've played through it. Because I don't know about you, but for me, I don't find that any single player experience has ever kept me in for very long by just throwing more DLCs or more expansion packs at me.
It's extremely uncommon that I'll even go back. Like a new DLC will come out or whatever, I'm not going to go back for a DLC. If like back in the Warcraft days, I'd buy an expansion because it's an entirely different freaking game. But
sort
like,
of. Warcraft 2...
Frozen Throne was...
Okay, Warcraft 3, yes. Warcraft 2, I would make the argument that Beyond the Dark Portal is not a different game. It's like some maps.
Oh, okay. See, but that's something I wouldn't come back for.
Right.
So in that situation, it's very unlikely I'll
and
go back.
And even a game that is... It's very hard for me to say this because Final Fantasy VI holds a very special place in my heart. But even for a game that is arguably my favorite game of all time, Breath of the Wild is a great game. I didn't even bother to play the DLC. It's like, no, I beat Ganon, I'm done.
Yeah. It feels, so, and it also feels very weird coming back to those games.
So here's the problem. Particularly games that are story, like narrative-driven games, are kind of done once you finish the narrative content. And in the old days, a lot of the time, games were kind of simpler. Like something like a Pilot Wings. First NES. Did you ever play Pilot Wings?
Yeah.
Pilot Wings.
I didn't
awesome.
Play it back in the day, actually, but I've played it more recently.
It was more about like playing fun little mini games. It was a pack of mini games, and so there's no story or anything. So you know, I don't feel like as a game developer, I'm at risk of. I feel like this argument has gotten very meandering, and I'm very sorry. The point is, depending on the gaming experience, there is no way for a game developer to incentivize players who have already made their lump sum purchase and own the game to keep playing it and keep wanting to own it. There's just no practical way to do it. And the unfortunate thing about digital distribution is that digital distribution works not just for a game publisher, but also for a user. So if there's a way for me to effectively become a digital distributor of my personal game library, then the advantage of digital distribution is that you've got this enormous customer base. So back in the day, it wasn't as much of a concern because the barriers that naturally existed for physical media, like finding a buyer and shipping a physical game cartridge to someone or delivering it to their house, made it less prevalent. Whereas now, the ease with which you could resell something and flip it, effectively reducing the original seller's ability to sell another copy to that person, is incredible. So what happens to the game developers who now really will, like I don't have to do a study to prove this, it's very obvious. The game developers who really will sell many, many fewer copies of their games if they happen to be a style of gameplay that lends itself to playing through once, being done with it, and just wanting to get rid of it.
Like this game I just brought up, VVVVVV. It yep. was one of the old school Humble Bundle games.
Yeah.
There's billions of these out here. My stream gave away probably, potentially in the hundreds because of had this weird thing that we used to do. If everyone that had this game suddenly was like, oh, I'm just going to sell it. You right click on it, you click sell, go, put it 0.1% under current undercut market value, whatever, yep. let's go. It's going to be a couple pennies. Right now it's selling for $5.49. That developer is just going to get nothing from what they made now. Because digital is like too easy.
So there is an argument to be made. Remember, I have my, my like game developer publisher, I have my business hat on right now. So from a business or from a consumer perspective here, I think I need a new hat. One moment, please.
What's the consumer going to be? You could like low-key mock them and wear a clown hat?
I was thinking about it, but I'm going to go with this.
Nice.
Right. Okay, so from a consumer perspective, that's not my problem.
Really good choice. True, yeah.
You developed your game, and you got paid for it. And what, you want to be paid for this game forever? Get a job. Make a new game. No?
I mean,
come up with a new idea. I want more games to play. I'm done playing this game. I paid my money. I should get something back for it because I'm done with it. I don't need this anymore.
I think it would hurt indie games a lot, which makes me sad and makes me not want to be on board.
Okay, so I'll just be me now.
As consumer hat, that's me being consumer hat.
So my favorite game in the last, I don't know, year, whatever, I'll pick an arbitrary period of time, ever since I played Breath of the Wild, is an indie game. It's a very small development studio that made a game called CrossCode. Did you ever play it?
I played it a little bit.
You suck. Okay. So CrossCode is like an old school JRPG style game, but it's actually, I think, a mostly Western development game.
I've played it since then. I just haven't played it a ton because I told you I don't want to play it on stream. It doesn't feel like a stream game.
That's fine. You just suck. That's
so
all.
It's going to take me forever
yeah,
to finish
fine.
It.
Yeah. It's fine that you suck. Like, it's cool. Like, that's your life choice.
What a jerk.
Anyway, sorry. So really small development studio. And they're actually, these guys are so incredible because they're actually still adding content to the game, even though the, you know, initial rush of people buying it is clearly far from over. And they're doing free DLC. They're not asking for any additional money for it. There's no subscription fee to pay it. There's nothing like that. It's one and done, and they keep adding content. Super cool, guys. I don't know how they could possibly survive if people were able to sell this game once they were done with it, because it's very narrative and character driven. And now that I finished, I might do a couple arena challenges, but that's not gonna entertain me. I'm sitting here bated breath for CrossCode 2, which will probably take another 7 years or however long the first one took them. So the thing is that while they did probably make a bunch of money on this game, developing it, selling it, the feast and famine game development model is not sustainable. That has been basically proven, where you invest really heavily in something and you're running on fumes. By the time it's finally time to release it, you get this huge influx of money, and then you go, okay, I want to hear everyone's best pitch. What's the next gigantic gamble that we take that is either going to make us or break us as a company? Okay, go, let's do it again. That is not sustainable. So I actually, you know what, I'm gonna say it. I'm gonna say that the benefits of digital distribution, things like Steam Summer Sales, which maybe haven't been that great in recent years, but certainly
it
are
used to be killer.
A better deal than it used to be going to the local London Drugs and buying a game. So the fact that discounts are so readily available, the fact that cloud autosaves are a thing, wow, they're amazing, I love it. What else can you think of that's great about digital distribution? The fact that you can buy a game in the middle of the night and then just play it immediately. It's freaking awesome.
Library sync. So like, you set up a new laptop, it doesn't have a disk drive, you can just download all your things immediately. You don't have to worry about it.
Yep. Digital rights management. And I don't mean that from a restrictive sense. I mean that from a management sense.
Yeah.
So having the digital rights to share my game library with Luke so he can play that game if I'm not playing it right now. I am going to go ahead and say that from my perspective, the benefits of digital distribution have been so great that I am willing to give up my right to sell games. I can see how you could make an argument the other way.
I kind of wish there was a solid alternative. Like, I wish that I could go out and buy more physical copies of games. I've brought that up a lot, and I would do that for a lot of games. There's a lot of games where I'm like, I'm fairly certain I'm going to like this a lot, and it's not going to necessarily be super popular with everybody, so I want to buy it so that I can hand it to my friend so that he can go play it. And then, in a lot of cases, being adults now, if I can tell they're really interested, I might even be like, hey, give it back, and then they have to buy it themselves if I want to support the company very much or whatever.
That's another thing that sometimes it's hard for me to keep track of, is that I am an adult now. I have, you know, a real job, sort of. But the point is, I make enough money that spending $50 or $60 or $20 or whatever it is on a game periodically is not a huge deal for me. And I guess that's where you have to try to, like, how do you solve this?
I've tried to be somewhat reasonable about certain things. Like Rocket League, I've played a crazy amount of Rocket League.
Yeah.
So every once in a while, I'll buy one of their, like, pass things.
Right.
But I don't buy them all the time.
Well,
only if I'm going to play, like, a lot for a while, because I'm like, okay, well, I got way more, massively more value out of the original purchase than I, like, probably should have. So I'll throw them a few extra bones. Now they're part of Epic, so I don't care that much. But
what I'm thinking about is more like back in the day when I was a student and I wasted all my money on my computer hardware, so I didn't have any money for games. You know, not having that as an option kind of sucks. But then again, that was right around the time, like my early university days, late high school days, was right around the time Steam started to actually gain some traction.
Yeah.
And I switched over pretty quickly, not completely, because every once in a while a physical copy of the game would be cheaper. So I own Far Cry, for example, on 5 CDs. don't want to talk about it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's so stupid. Anyway, Actually, I think that was slightly before Steam took. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The point is, there's like games from after the Steam era that I like own on like a bunch of CDs or something stupid. I couldn't find the DVD copy. But by and large, I did switch to buying them digitally, even though I didn't have a ton of money at the time, but I would just wait for them to be on sale. It's just that a lot of the time, because the physical media business, the physical games business was struggling so much, they were doing deeper discounts than digital, which made no sense, because like a physical item had to be like stamped and boxed and like shipped somewhere. Yeah.
And warehoused. I think the most frustrating series of time for me was when they first started shifting over to like, oh, you buy the physical copy and there isn't even a disc in it, there's just a code in the box. That was dumb.
That was pretty
and
funny.
I think they're like still doing that.
Yeah,
and that's just stupid.
I remember working at NCIX, we'd be doing like a game promo partnered with Intel or Nvidia or whatever, where your graphics card would come with a free game, and like it would come with a box that would just have a Steam code, and we're like, why are we shipping this?
Yeah.
Like, are you guys idiots?
Yeah.
Stop.
Can you just give me a piece
of paper?
Just stop.
Give me coupons came later. No,
yeah.
That was great. That was a really good thing. All right.
Someone in chat, Luke, I'm suing Bethesda over that exact issue. You're suing them?
Go ham.
Good luck.
Yeah, ZeniMax is a pretty experienced litigator as companies go.
They're pretty down to fight in courts.
Yeah. So good luck, everybody.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of good luck, everybody, wishing the best to UFD Tech. Brett's going to be moving his family back to the United States in order to seek better medical care for his son. So Brett's son has SYNGAP1. Basically, it's a disorder that causes seizures and has been very challenging for them to treat. This situation is developing very quickly, so the family has been forced to move very abruptly. He released a video. You guys should go check it out. We've actually got a link down below. There's a bunch of ways that you can help out Brett. One of them is he's got a GoFundMe. Another one is he's on Patreon. Another one is, of course, you can subscribe on Floatplane. He also does streams on Twitch, UF Disciple. They have merch over on Teespring. But basically, their plan is to be back in the U.S. by the end of the year, maybe sooner. They're moving to Florida, where there's better doctors available for his condition. However, this is going to be a period like I don't get the impression that he's asking for a handout. Brett's one of those guys that, whatever you might think about the content, not everybody likes it. That's fine. That's cool. But Brett's one of those guys that has clearly reinvested a lot of his YouTube earnings in his business, trying to make UFD Tech a real business. So I don't think that this is just a cynical cash grab or anything. I think that they really do need some funds in order to help them get through this transition, because it's going to be very difficult, not just for Brett and his family, but for the other members of the UFD team. At this time, none of the other members of their team have US visas. So he's basically been selling all the camera equipment. It looks like he's going to have to disband the team. So his channel, I'd be surprised if he doesn't come back making videos again at some point. I mean, you got to have a job. You got to support your family, especially if you're getting medical care in the U.S.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm sure there's going to be videos, but, you know, they might take on a bit of a different form, and they might need a little bit of help bridging the gap here. So I'm not Mr. Beast. I'm not going to be, like, surprising random Twitch streamers with donations live or anything, but I'll be making a personal contribution. And I just thought I'd bring it up on the stream so that you guys are aware of the situation. I mean, the tech, whether it's Austin's house burning down or what's going on right now with UFD Tech, I think the tech tuber community has sort of I wouldn't call it an obligation, but has a tendency to kind of stick together and support each other. So
yeah.
Want to make sure that you guys know what's going on down there.
They're doing pretty. The only numbers I can see, or say publicly, because I guess we have float planes. But the only numbers I can say publicly, as far as I know, is the GoFundMe one, and they're at like almost 53,000 now.
Wow, that's awesome.
Of a $10,000 goal.
That's a big deal.
But again, medical stuff in America. So
yeah,
that's like 3 hours, I think, maybe?
Well, I actually don't know. I know that it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I have no clue. I don't know how to scale that at all.
I remember finding out how much it costs to have a baby in America.
Yeah.
I was like, what? It was free here.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, nothing's free.
You probably had to pay for parking.
Yeah, like and parking at the hospital, whew, it's expensive.
It's actually a nightmare.
In the grand scheme of things, it was, you know, over the 6-day period or whatever, and plus people visit, it's like $70 or whatever. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Grand scheme of things, nothing compared to like tens of thousands of dollars, which is apparently what it costs down in the States not insured.
Do you even have to pay for food? Because they like feed you in the hospital, right? They probably feed like the admitted.
So. I mean,
like maybe you had to get your own food.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I had to pay for my own food, of course. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Only the person in the hospital bed gets food.
Yeah. But even that, like, wow, okay.
Yeah, so pretty crazy stuff. Guys, best of luck. Speaking of best of luck, best of luck making a fantastic website for yourself on Squarespace. We use Squarespace, no
Amazing.
Joke, we really do. LinusMediaGroup.com and LTXExpo.com are both built using Squarespace really quickly. They don't represent the best that you can do on Squarespace, but they represent what you can do if you have no idea what you're doing and you're in a hurry, which is a lot of people, quite honestly.
Yeah.
If you haven't heard already, Squarespace is the all-in-one platform that makes it easy to get your website up and running quickly. They have tons of different templates you can choose from, and if you need help, Squarespace offers webinars, they've got a full series of help guides, or you can contact their support team 24/7 to help you build your site. Go to squarespace.com/WAN and use offer code WAN to save 10% today. Speaking of saving money, Honey.
Wow.
Honey is the web browser extension that finds the best promo codes whenever you shop online at specific sites. And by specific sites, I mean a lot of sites, like over 30,000 stores, including Amazon, eBay, Newegg, Razor, Best Buy, Walmart, and more. Those of you who downloaded Honey from our link, this is pretty out of date because it was 100,000 like ages ago. More than $100,000 has been saved by people using our link. And what's cool is that Honey doesn't make money on you. Honey is always free because they get a small commission from the sites where Honey saves you money. It's free to use. It installs in just 2 clicks. Every time I bring up these talking points, it's someone new. So Colton and Brandon apparently saved some money recently with Honey. So get it for free at joinhoney.com/Linus. Finally.
I was waiting for another epic segue.
That's a terrible lower third. That is the worst. Whatever. Seasonic. They make great power supplies. They've got 80+ titanium power supplies. I don't even know what specific model we're talking about here. It's not in here. But it's
is
one.
Is there one
is
around?
Is there one here? Dang it. Which one is it? Whatever.
They are great power supplies.
They make great power supplies.
They do.
They've got everything from fully modular power supplies to ones with hybrid fan operations, so they're silent under very low loads. They use high-quality fans. They offer up to a 12-year warranty on their 80-plus titanium units. They're awesome. Check them out at Seasonic.com or at Amazon at the link in the video description. We love Seasonic stuff. It's good stuff. All right, now this is a fun topic.
Yeah.
YouTube has slashed the verified user roster.
Every once in a while, YouTube just comes in out of nowhere and is like,
and gives us a golden gift.
Here's what you needed. Delivered perfectly to your doorstep.
So I don't know. Do you want to, before we get into YouTube canning verification badges for a bunch of users, you have some updates on Floatplane that you can share, right? You guys are on target to hit your
target in 10 days? We were talking about...
I want to know what's actually going to be live in 10 days. You have to commit to the people.
I think it's less than 10 days.
It's 10-ish.
Pretty
sure that's how it works,
That's 10.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know why I counted through them all.
I know how many days it is.
Yeah. So no one on the team has told me there would be a problem with anything yet.
Speak now or forever hold your peace. He's giving you the gap
here. This happens
here.
Every time. We have freaking problems every time. But no one has said there's going to be a problem this time. So we're launching yearly payments, which people have been asking for freaking ever.
Yeah, because we used to have them back when it was running through the forum. Not that they actually
worked. But we technically have them. So we're launching yearly payments. What else is even coming? Comment moderation, which shouldn't matter to any of you guys. But that's coming. Just saying. What's this? Four? Four. One. Four. 14. You're tallying things? Angled. Less than four. 4K! 4K is coming! Okay, sorry. I didn't get that. The other part was supposed to be a line.
No, it's a K in American Sign Language. A, B, C, D, E,
I don't
F,
know
G,
American
H,
Sign
I, G,
Language.
A, K. Yeah, don't worry about it.
What?
It kind of looks like a K, K-ish.
But there's no line.
Just anyway, chill. Time.
Yeah, whatever. It's cool. 4K is coming. Okay, so 4K is coming, but it has to be like turned on by the creators, and they're probably going to want to add additional plans that like cost more to turn that on. So 4K is going to be ready platform-wise right away, but I don't know how long it's going to take until things actually like come out on the platform at 4K, and until you're able to actually like see it and stuff. And then some back-end stuff is being worked on, and I think that's sort of it.
Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Apparently they backtracked the verification badge thing while we've been on stream.
That's amazing.
Hold on a second.
How do you just do that? Like, you already told people, like, you're not worthy, and then you're like, wait, no, it's cool, you totally are, don't worry about it.
Okay, hold on. YouTube backtracks 2 hours ago, this is great. On taking badges away from creators after outcry. Okay, so why don't we start at the beginning? YouTube is ticking off creators again. And I had teased at the beginning of the stream.
Oh, no way.
That I actually know someone who had their who had their eligibility for their verification badge stripped away, none other than our very own.
Yeah, you're still there. You go.
I'm good now, right?
I think so.
None other than our very own and dear Taryn Van Hemert. This is Taryn Van Hemert's badge verification removal notification, email notification.
There you go.
That was sent to him by Messenger Pigeon.
Don't scroll up.
By YouTube. Don't scroll. Oh,
don't
yeah,
scroll
no,
up.
I won't. Informing him that they're updating the eligibility criteria for channel verification on YouTube. Unfortunately, with these changes, your channel no longer meets the criteria to be verified. It used to be that anything over, I think, 100,000 subscribers could be verified. We realize this might be disappointing, but we believe these updates will make channel verification more consistent for users and creators across YouTube. Please keep reading to learn more about the changes and what you can do. What's changing? YouTube will now proactively verify channels instead of accepting requests for verification badges. We aim to verify channels that represent a well-known or highly searched creator, artist, public figure, or company with the clear need to differentiate
that.
Themselves from other channels with a similar name, and you basically are a nobody. So, channels are typically verified if they have a large audience and community on YouTube, are widely recognized outside of YouTube, or have a strong presence online, or have a channel name that could be confused with other channels on YouTube. The goal is to help channels avoid impersonation and help viewers understand if the channel or the official presence is the official presence of the creator, celebrity, or brand that it represents. It does not represent endorsements or awards from YouTube. So what this means is you can go F yourself, basically.
You know, okay,
you
so
can appeal it. You could appeal it. That was a thing they offered.
I want to re-air some garbage here for a second. Yeah. I'm not verified on Twitter, which I don't actually really care about.
I'm not verified
that
on Twitter.
Much. I know. Yeah. The thing that really pisses me off about it,
yes,
is there is an account. Do you know about this? There's an account that has my exact name. Just one of the letters is alpha coded.
Yeah.
And I don't know which one it is. I don't remember. So it looks just like me. It is a bot, so it dynamically changes its cover photo and avatar photo to whatever I set mine to, and it copies every single tweet I make and then randomly inserts racist ones. And it follows everyone that I follow.
Yeah.
So they get notifications saying this person just followed you, and yep, then they check it out, and it's not me.
Yeah.
Luckily, a non-insignificant amount of them have been like, this doesn't seem right, and have figured it out, which is great. But like,
what, you're not a white supremacist?
What?
What?
Fired!
Frankly, I'm disappointed.
I thought we had this thing going
you
on.
You look like a white supremacist.
I just, it's just so, but like, I told Twitter that, and they were like, Like, this is the whole reason why verification exists.
Yeah.
And so, it's important, and so, it should be used.
So we're not saying Twitter's system is correct.
No. But this isn't the right response.
This probably isn't the right way to go about it.
Ant Venom lost his. He has, like, over 3 million subscribers.
So basically they just determined he, like, doesn't matter?
Well, they were like, Minecraft became less popular, so screw you,
ouch.
I guess. You've had, like, toys in stores, but nah.
I mean, isn't Minecraft popular again?
It is. It's booming yet again.
I mean, here, I'm going to creep him just because I'm, like, curious and stuff. This is, like, this is basically what we all do on the content creation side. We just, like, creep each other on Social Blade. So, subscribers for the last 30 days, kind of up.
He's growing.
Yeah, he's growing. Monthly gained video views. Oh, wow. Yeah, he's growing.
Yeah, because Minecraft is...
Because Minecraft's back.
And I made, he made a video a long time ago being like, why I'm still going to make Minecraft videos. And he's just like, oh, I just really like Minecraft. So he's like the Minecraft guy. Because a lot of people bailed on Minecraft when it started becoming less popular.
Huh.
But he stuck around. So that's
yeah,
cool.
he like rode that out for like years.
Still.
No, I mean rode out that dip.
Oh, yeah.
Like there was a years-long dip in Minecraft popularity. Like yeah. He... struggled.
Yeah. But he's growing.
Good on you, Ant-Man.
And then they took it away from him anyways.
Anyway,
they took away lots of people. Twitter's just covered in it right now.
So basically,
Oz,
okay. So
EPOS.
Yeah, basically what I think YouTube kind of missed here is that the verification tick is like it's a badge of honor. It's kind of like getting a 100,000 subscriber plaque or whatever else. It's not necessarily, from a creator standpoint, it's not necessarily about, there is a practical component to it, like Luke said, with that Twitter bot that spams like racist stuff.
Yeah.
So there's a practical component to it, but there's also just like a pride component to it. And there's really no reason to not verify someone, because I think that the name of it is right in there. Verified. That's all it is. There's no reason to not verify a creator.
It doesn't say
unless
approved.
They aren't who they say they are.
It doesn't say endorsed by.
Yeah. It just says verified. Yes, this is the actual Ant Venom. Or yes, this is the actual Taron Van Hemert. So if
you can be a bad person and have a passport.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's not the country being like, this person is fantastic.
I mean, Taron has 56,000 followers on Twitter, which maybe isn't a big deal in 2019 from YouTube's perspective with their 2 billion unique users every month or whatever it is now. But that's enough that literally thousands of people could be confused if there was a Taron Van Hemert on YouTube, and it was not the same one as the Taron Van Hemert on Twitter.
Yeah.
And there was some kind of strangeness, like, and oh, like, this Taron Van Hemert doesn't like macros. What?
They hate macros. It's so weird. And like, it's not that hard either. Like, it's the same tags and everything. It says where he works.
Well,
I'm sure people can spoof things. You can buy followers and stuff.
It could be hard. If they get it wrong, I do see how them saying it's verified is kind of putting their seal of, yes, okay, we verified it on it.
Have you ever heard
of
that?
Okay, that's the other. Well, I don't know. Just because I haven't heard of it doesn't mean it's not a problem.
That's true.
So there was an unlisted channel that was buying fake ads on YouTube, promoting like an iPhone giveaway or something using my face in their thumbnail. But because the channel and the videos were unlisted that the ad campaign was linked to, it was not immediately obvious to YouTube's team that this was happening. So it was only actually thanks to one of our very helpful users out there tweeted me a video ID that I could forward to them that I was able to find it and report it to them. They had the channel shut down, and
they
now
couldn't
they're
find it?
Well, they couldn't find it because I didn't
they
have a video ID.
They couldn't use their content ID system to find your face on purchased advertisements?
It was on a thumbnail. Like, just because they have, like, content ID and then, like...
But it was purchased ads and it was just in the thumbnail?
And then, like, content analysis for, like, what type of content it is, or, like, content classification for what type of user it might be good for. These are all completely disconnected
systems.
They only
use you in the thumbnail? and it was an app?
I didn't watch the video. I was only it was only sent to me. Okay. But yes, apparently they just used me in the thumbnail. They used me holding up an iPhone as the thumbnail for like the banner or something. Anyway, the point is it was kind of difficult to track down unless they were actually served it and actually clicked it and got a video ID. So thanks to one of our users who brought that to my attention, and they're working on improving their systems. I just mean, just because nobody ever heard of something like that happening doesn't mean it wasn't a problem.
I don't fully see how that's related.
I just mean, just because you never heard of it.
I agree with the concept.
Yeah.
I don't really understand how the story works in there.
Oh, the story is just that here's a thing that happened that you wouldn't have heard about. No one would have heard about. So in much the same way, there could have been a situation where YouTube verified someone by accident because they had a lot of subscribers, and then that turned out to be spam or fake or exploitative.
But like, did the unlisted channel have a lot of subscribers?
What? No, that doesn't matter. That's not the point. The point is that something could happen.
I'm sure it could be, because you could buy followers on like any platform.
Sure.
Yeah.
So just because you didn't hear about it doesn't mean it wasn't a problem. And the point of my story was that YouTube will deal with weird edge cases that you wouldn't even think of.
On their side, the weird edge cases are happening all the time.
Because, exactly.
Yeah.
So they might see a lot of weird edge cases around these verified badges that have caused enough problems that they went, this isn't worth it. We can't deal with this anymore.
I think what they should maybe do in that case is just maybe increase the barrier to become verified. Not necessarily in terms of you need this many subs or whatever, but like make the process just a little bit more difficult, a little bit more involved.
But then they
don't make it impossible, don't make it Twitter. Or as far as I've heard, it's like one person, and as far as I can tell, they're just super biased. Because like the accounts that get verified and the accounts that don't get verified are just
I've seen verified
wild.
Accounts of just like absolute nobodies on like the local like morning news thing with like 3,000 followers. And they
I've seen ones where they're not trying to be a public figure at all.
Yeah.
And they have a verified badge. I've had people send me ones where it's like they have like 40 followers, which like that's totally fine. But the point, they're not trying to do anything.
Yeah.
What?
Who cares? And if them, why not these other people?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I still don't have one on my personal Twitter.
I don't think
Linus
you do.
Tech does.
Yeah. And that took forever.
Yeah.
It took a really long time. Yeah, no.
Yeah, my personal one doesn't have it. Maybe they don't like my profile picture. Linus Cat Tips now features editing.
So I
got Adobe Rush,
because
I have Creative Cloud anyway. I might as well use at least one program in the entire suite. So it's actually not bad. And with the stylus on the note, all of a sudden, I have a reason to care about my stylus to be anything other than a selfie remote shutter. So that's fantastic.
That's cool.
It actually was pretty easy to do. Like just basic stuff, just adding a title here and there and chopping up clips and stuff. I have the most epic video that I'm going to be uploading on the Cat Tips channel in the next little bit.
Maybe they won't like it because your name is still that very old,
very
now meme.
Dead meme.
Yeah,
I plan to keep it like that for quite some time. Yvonne's hilarious. My wife, she's so funny because she's always like, why do you do these things? Why do you behave in this way? Because she was like, isn't that kind of like past now? I'm like, yeah. She's like, shouldn't you change it? I'm like, no.
No.
She's like, but it's not funny. I'm like, yeah, that's what's funny about it. And she's like, can you please just not?
I thought it's funny for a while.
Can you just not? Like when Tim Apple is long forgotten, when you know, Trump is no longer president even, when it's just completely dead. That will still be my username. And to the vast majority of people who've completely forgotten everything about it, it'll just make no sense.
And like, probably no one's gonna mention it because like, they don't wanna
seem like, maybe this is just something really new and I don't know about it yet.
Yeah.
That's like my favorite kind of humor. All right, check this out.
No one else gets to see this?
No.
What the heck? That's really cute, and I just really don't understand. Cats are so foreign to me.
Cats are so ridiculous. They're just like the dumbest animals ever. Here's something to enjoy while I introduce our next topic. That one's going to go up probably after the other one. All right, what else we got here? Facebook to create an independent oversight board. So Facebook has unveiled its plan to create an independent oversight board to make decisions over how the network is moderated. The panel will have the power to override decisions that Facebook makes over contentious material and influence new policy. The panel will hear its first cases in 2020, and their decisions will be made public. The idea, dubbed the Facebook Supreme Court.
Oh.
At this point, should they just say it outright? We're basically as influential as a country.
Yeah.
No, let's just become a country.
Yeah.
We'll eventually be composed of 40 people around the world, but we'll launch with 11 members, and the names of those appointed will be made public. Experts have questioned, this is great, I love this, the board's independence, as well as the motivation behind this move. This is a great quote. The only vote that really counts is the majority shareholder, Mark Zuckerberg. The board will be paid via a trust setup and funded by Facebook up front. So Facebook is basically creating... I mean, this is government-level stuff. The government appointing its own ethics watchdog is exactly the same as Facebook appointing its own ethics watchdog.
And having someone who can veto anyways.
Yeah.
This is just great.
Well, I like it.
I kind of think there's this whole massive game of chicken going on right now between the what do you call them? The FANG, what is it, FANG AM companies or something? It's like Facebook, Apple, Netflix, Google, Microsoft, Amazon.
Yeah, okay.
I said it slightly wrong.
FANGM,
whatever. I think there's a giant game of chicken going on for the first one to buy a country. For the first one to just be like, screw it. This is Amazon.
This is Apple Land.
Yeah. This is Amazon, the Amazon, brought to you by Amazon.
Yeah.
No, it's not burning.
Okay.
Which everyone forgot about.
So here's a fun topic. Would you move to Google's country?
I don't know. Because it would be interesting, because it would be probably the first time where, acquiring citizenship somewhere would probably be a lot easier?
I actually doubt it. I think acquiring citizenship would be more difficult. Because you know this. I've thought about this. If I were to create a city...
Yeah, I still want you to make your city.
I've never aspired to a country.
I still think you should do it.
If I were to make a city, I would be doing it to keep out idiots.
We've had this conversation where he has to tell me to shut up because I keep telling him to make a city. I just think it'd be awesome. But yeah, no, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I think, but did we talk?
But like, with your thing, you could probably like go take a test or like do something, right? There'd be like an actionable item. And then you could probably get in if you pass.
Yeah, I think a lot of the kinds of, so, okay. My point is, if I were them, I wouldn't be creating a country to like make it easier
for people to get in. Okay. I might have phrased that incorrectly.
Sure.
What I mean is, instead of like waiting in a queue forever, or the current like America to Canada situation, which is where like in a lot of situations you just can't.
Yeah.
There would be probably things that you could do or things that you could prove or whatever.
Or what if there wasn't? What if it was like verification? What if there's one person?
There's one person. Just like, and they're super biased.
Just like dialing the phone, being like, sup?
Calling random
do you want a passport? Or the Google method. What if they were like, come on in. Actually, you know what? Piss off. You actually.
Yeah, get out.
Wait, you're mad? You can stay.
Yeah.
So...
Oh, you already sold all your stuff?
Yeah,
whatever.
Too bad.
Okay, so I want to show you something amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if I can find the official form for it. Malta? Malta's hilarious. If you just pay them, like I'm pretty sure they have...
I think I've heard about this.
...officially on their website somewhere.
Like the country of Malta.
Yeah.
Malta citizenship by investment program. There it is. Here, yeah. Hold on. Let me bring up your...
But this isn't the actual... Computer's not working. This isn't the actual form anyways.
Oh, okay. But there's just a form?
But no, it's like, you give us $100,000 and here's some passports. Like, what? It's amazing.
Oh,
but I can't find...
And to be clear, the point of this whole thing is it gives you EU citizenship. So it has an impact on... It's far more impactful than just having a Malta passport.
So there's a difference between, like, I want to be a resident for a year and, like, I want to be, like, foreverzies. So it sounds like 1 year, 90-day visa-free travel to all European countries... 1 year residency in Malta, all that kind of stuff. That's 24,000 euros. But if you want like a passport and you want to be like there, I think it's main applicants are required to make a 650,000 euro contribution.
Okay, so that's a lot then. And I mean, to me, I guess, but
it's like
there's people that's nothing to.
Some other amount of money for all of your dependents or whatever, but you can just be like, yeah, whatever.
I'm an EU citizen.
Yeah, done.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So
like certain kind of versions of that kind of exist, but it's purely financial right now.
Okay. I'm going to play devil's advocate now with our whole, Facebook country thing
okay.
here.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Why would they want? Oh, okay.
So yes, you know, the rules might be stupid and you might not have the privacy that you value. And the rules are already stupid. You already don't have privacy.
Oh, that's what... No, I know.
Yeah. So, like...
I think EVE Online's, like, vision of the future has been awkwardly accurate for a long time. Where just everything's corporations. And you just, like, apply to a different corporate... You are always... It is impossible to not be in a corporation in that game. And you just, like, apply to other corporations to transfer over. And your employment history is public to everyone for your entire lifespan. Yep. Like, I think from the minute you are born, you are employed by a corporation. And then you just bounce around from there on.
Okay, this leads me to another great topic. on the subject of your family being a corporation.
Okay.
I'm going to pitch you something. So you guys use Slack.
Yeah.
You use, Jira.
Yep.
We use Trello over here. We've also played around with Monday.com.
Okay. Oh, God, their advertisements. That's probably why I get bombed by them all the time, because you guys started looking into it.
Yeah, well, actually, we did a sponsored thing with them. So,
oh. it's like every second ad on YouTube for me is Monday.com.
Yeah, so this is sort of the kind of thing that hopefully nobody ever sees, even though it's on WAN shows. So basically, we took everything, we vetted it. Like, we made sure that it was complete.
Fine.
And it's like very similar to Trello. And then we decided, okay, we can endorse this. It seems really great. So we did a piece, and then we just substituted Monday for Trello in every way that we use Trello already. So the piece was very genuine in the sense that, like, yes, that is exactly how we use our productivity okay. enhancement tools.
As long as you guys verified it.
And we verified
fine.
That all the same tools are there.
Yeah, yeah. As long as you verified it.
Yeah, Monday.com. So we were like, yeah, okay, sure. And that episode that we made the video about the 6 hours to air, they did use Monday.com. So it was like, okay, everything we said was true, which is great. Anyway, so those tools. There is a growing trend towards using those tools at home.
Yes.
Is that your answer?
Do you?
I want your answer first. So is yes your answer, like, yes, I want Jira for my home. I want my shopping list in Jira.
Not Jira.
Okay, but Trello or Monday.
Jira's too heavy for that, but I already do.
You already do. Okay, I freaking knew it. So it hadn't even occurred to me until I was listening to some random podcast or reading an article. I fell down like an internet black hole or something and like was clicking through things. And I was like, huh. So you create a homework checklist or you create like a video games checklist of all the things that have to be done before you can play video games.
Okay.
Your kid uses their phone. They submit a ticket effectively. And you go, sure, you can say no, or you can say yes, complete the homework checklist, or the video game checklist. And so is your room clean? Is your bed made? Are your teeth brushed?
You could build automation tools that once all the cards are out of the, once they're all in the completed column, it
unlocks the internet or whatever.
Yeah.
Yep. Totally.
You could do that.
Yep. So you support this notion because Yvonne is thinking of switching our family over to Trello. Shopping lists.
I just use it personally. No one else is on mine.
Yeah.
Mine is just for me.
Okay.
And it's like kind of a mess, but I understand the mess.
Sure.
Like it would be unacceptable.
Okay, then fine. I want the more complete answer. Would you consider moving your girlfriend and your parents onto Trello to interact with you?
It would probably be really helpful. I don't know. I'm not necessarily against it. Family Trello boards and stuff like that. I think the thing is you got to stay away from, especially if you're bringing it to, this is getting into my manager head, but if you're bringing it to like a family front,
yeah.
Unless you have like a family where every single person in the family is an engineer, you should probably use one of the lightweight ones.
Sure.
Like the Mondays or the Trellos out there. I don't think you should use Jira.
Yeah.
Just calm down. Jira's too much. There's too much stuff going on. It's very nice for what we do. And like every time I've been like, this is so annoying to work with, because it is really freaking annoying to work with.
Yeah.
I've been like, okay, we're going to switch to this other thing. So I try it out myself for a little while, and then I try to like do the tasks that we're doing, and I'm like, nah. Never mind, we'll use Jira. But like, yeah, there's the right tool for the right job, but I can see it making sense. It's basically the old, pin board.
Basically.
Or the front of the fridge.
Yep.
Or whatever else.
Yep.
Just modernized and on everyone's phones.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so you just like double-sided tape a tablet to the front of your fridge. I have an old iPad too that would run Trello just fine. Actually, I don't know if the Trello app requires iOS 13 or 12 or whatever. I'd have to check. But that would be awesome. So the shopping list is just like always there and everyone can update it from anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a value to it. Speaking of value, LTTstore.com now has a new shipping option.
Oh, what?
Yeah, so this is exciting. We've actually got, I'm just going to bring it up.
I want those.
I know, we're working on it.
Socks.
So LTTstore.com, Stealth Hoodie is in stock.
Yeah.
The RAM t-shirt has actually been super popular.
Yeah.
Hard drive shirt and processor, I think, are the most popular items right now. We've had really good feedback about the lanyard. Do you have one of the lanyards?
They're very nice. It's hard for me to give up my Valve lanyard.
Oh, yeah. Okay, fine. You can rep Valve as long as you want.
It's very old and gnarly. Yeah.
They're kind of buttheads in some ways. I'm surprised they ever even gave out a lanyard, I guess is...
But that's why I've kept it, because like no one has them.
But I
didn't even think about the they're kind of buttheads now thing.
You guys can't see this, but this is like super rugged.
They are. I have mine on my desk, because I'm waiting for this to fall in half again, and then I'm going to replace it.
So basically, we can offer FedEx shipping now, in addition to UPS and Canada Post. And the benefits of FedEx are not necessarily that you're going to like immediately get way better pricing across the board. I know that some regions do not have great pricing. Where is my freaking teams here?
In some places,
there we go.
Some of them are better than the other ones too, and some people know that.
But our rates should be at least marginally cheaper for Europe, Asia, and South America.
Nice.
And the big thing is that the service should be much faster to those regions.
Nice.
I had someone in Europe contact me earlier this week being like, it has been 6 weeks, where the hell is my order? With Canada Post. I don't understand what method of transportation can take weeks.
I actually got some insight
That today. Nick, okay, well, come on around here so they can hear you.
Come in the back. Phrasing. So what they were telling me today is that oftentimes, if let's say we're shipping something to Italy, for example, it won't go from Richmond to Italy. It'll go from Richmond to Germany. And then it'll get sorted in Germany and then go to the UK because like they ship in these huge bulks when they're going to Europe and they don't do it like country by country necessarily, and that's why it takes so long.
So it'll only leave Germany or wherever once they have like a full truck or whatever?
That makes
and
sense.
And also once it's been sorted and once it's been like cleared into the right pile.
Sorted and processed and in that pile and then in that truck and then wait for that truck to be full and then probably not directly to Italy.
And then another big thing
not
is...
Not the right part of it.
as far as I understand, and you know, we haven't done full testing on this yet, but all FedEx shipments should be tracked.
Oh.
So I know that's been sort of a frustration for some people, so I'm really sorry, but we're working on it. Hopefully these should be much better, especially for Europe customers. The quoted like shipping times they have are like 2 to 3 business days to like Germany. And I'm like, I don't know if that's accurate, but hopefully it's better than 5 weeks. So
one of my friends just got a 3D printer from Shenzhen in 2 days. Free
that's
shipping.
That's kind of nuts.
Insane.
Was it like a $20,000 printer or something?
No.
Oh, okay.
That China subsidized international shipping, man. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Like, you want to move to Hong Kong? I'm kidding.
I mean,
honestly,
not right now.
Wrong, yeah.
The amount of stuff.
Wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah, right now.
The amount of stuff that you can ship from Hong Kong for like, you know, 12 cents for like a physical package, it's like, what?
Kind of nuts.
How does that make any sense? You know what I mean? Anyway, guys, LTTstore.com.
Yeah.
It helps us out a lot.
Yeah.
And it's like good stuff.
Yeah.
And we're working on DHL.
Yeah.
It's just not done yet.
Yeah.
That'll be a lot of shipping options.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Woo.
Stuff all takes time. And we're doing our best, basically. We're learning a lot. You know, doing this ourselves versus using a service like Teespring or District Lines or, you know, any of the ones that we used in the past has been a huge learning curve for us. But I think it's worth it. Do we have any other big topics that we wanted to talk about today? Oh, actually, this one's interesting. So Huawei announced the Mate 30 and the Mate 30 Pro in Munich this week and confirmed that the devices will not have any Google Apps. No Google Maps, no Chrome, no Play Store. So Mate 30 users will have to search the web using the Huawei browser and download apps using the Huawei App Gallery, which apparently has around 45,000 apps compared to the Play Store's estimated 2.7 million.
I mean, I'm sure you could just sideload things.
The Mate 30 Pro, Mate 30 phones will be powered by open source Android, but will run EMUI 10, Huawei's user interface that approximates Google's Android 10. That means Huawei will only be able to bring security updates to the Mate 30 phones when those updates hit open source Android. I mean, they've never really been the fastest at security updates anyway, so that probably won't be very different. There's no way that I would even consider, like it would even begin to consider buying an Android phone that is not mainline Android. Good luck.
Remember that stupid watch? How much it took me to get the Play Store on that stupid watch?
Yeah. Oh yeah. The what was it called? That stupid kick-farted
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember the name of it.
What was it called?
My brain's telling me it has something to do with a tree.
On the tip of my tongue. Why can I not remember?
I typoed that. I like typed both of them. Kickfarted playlist. Motion activated battery bank? No.
That's the one.
Wrist mounted smartphone.
Neptune Pine.
Neptune Pine. That's why I thought tree.
Neptune
okay.
Pine. And I said that before it came up.
You did.
I won.
You
yes.
did.
Go Linus.
But yeah, I was able to sideload the whole Play Store onto that thing. I don't know how viable sideloading the entire Play Store is these days.
Stupid.
But you can probably sideload the individual
it's
apps.
It's like a bad experience for anyone other than a great big nerd.
It was
so
terrible.
Yeah. All right, we've got a couple other little things. Rockstar has a games launcher. Oh boy.
And like they already require you to use it if you want to play their games.
Sweet. And the Core i9 10900X, what a stupid name, appears on Geekbench 4.
Really?
Someone has seemingly benchmarked it. The unreleased processor sports the 10,000 series branding. So it's most likely one of Intel's upcoming HEDT parts based on their Cascade Lake microarchitecture. The rumored base clock and boost clock are 4 gigahertz and 4.6 gigahertz. And Intel claims that Cascade Lake X will bring double the performance per dollar, so we might be getting some price drops scheduled to arrive next month. And I guess that's pretty much it, other than reading some super chats.
Oh, one thing about the Rockstar Games Launcher is, in my opinion, this is probably... Yeah, okay, so it's even in the notes. This launch could be in preparation for a PC version of Red Dead Redemption 2 and all of its various potential microtransactions.
Bryant Lewis says, when is Scrapyard Wars dropping, and do any people of color apply and get hired at LMG? So your first question, I can answer that one pretty easily. We are shooting Scrapyard Wars in 2 weeks, which means that the episodes will come when they come. As for whether any people of color apply and get hired at LMG, the last time I checked, we have lots of people who are not white, and as far as I know, anything other than white is a color. So I guess
half of the founding members
there's that.
We're not white.
Also
just saying.
As for more than half, if you count Yvonne.
Of the founding members?
Were you counting Brandon?
I wasn't counting Brandon.
Oh, okay.
Brandon's tech, what was he, like week two?
Well, no, okay, so Brandon's complicated because we didn't hire him until I think April or May.
Okay.
But he actually volunteered for us on our first project, which we completed. It was a sponsored thing for Corsair before the company formally started.
Okay.
So he had worked
for us okay.
before we ever paid him and before the company officially began on January 1st.
We didn't really have the money.
We did not have any money.
Yeah,
we had
okay.
no money.
So I will count that. I didn't know. I forgot that part.
So that's why Brandon is technically OG, even though he actually
that
didn't
makes sense.
Start.
That makes sense.
But at the same time as
yeah.
you.
So then, majority was not white.
Yeah. So
cool. Sounds good.
As for our hiring practices, we hire the most qualified candidate.
And isn't the majority still not white?
I'm not sure. Honestly, I don't give a shit.
It's not the point.
Yeah.
I don't know either.
Because it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
When people apply, depending on what we're trying to do, we hire whoever the person who seems like they can do it the best is.
Yeah, and speaking of which, I don't know if I'm going to be able to find it in time for it to be relevant, but Brandon Appreciation Day passed, and I recognized that I was the only person who engaged in appreciating Brandon on that day, and I'm disappointed in the community. So you guys should step up.
Lordy.
Yep.
All right. Oh, wow. Steve A says, please do a comparison with CRT and fixed pixel displays. I've heard that the moving resolution of fixed pixel displays falls apart compared to CRT. There was an article that went up. I think Digital Foundry did a video.
Digital Foundry did a video, and everyone on the planet is trying to come across like they came up with this out of nowhere, and it's driving me nuts.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I'm not certain that Digital Foundry was the first.
I am not sure either. I don't know where exactly this came from.
But whatever happened there, what's up?
Oh, we're almost done.
Oh, you're still live.
We're still live, yeah.
Don't let me interrupt you.
Okay. Thanks, Pella.
See ya. Yeah, but like, the amount of tweets I've gotten, I was thinking today.
Yeah.
And I think it would be so interesting
were
if you...
Were you?
No.
Were you?
No. You were not thinking about CRT monitors today. You just watched a video and are trying to pass the idea on to us.
So CRTs absolutely have a value. And there are things that they do better than any modern display technology. There's a reason that our arcade machine has a CRT. There's a reason that we have both a CRT TV and a CRT monitor over in the warehouse in case we happen to need one for a project.
Yeah.
But there are lots of things that they don't do better. And while they may have better motion resolution, particularly for certain types of content, they also flicker. And I'm talking even at high refresh rates, they flicker. The eye fatigue, like, I don't miss that.
There's no way in hell I would replace my daily driver monitors with a CRT.
Not gonna
happen.
As like a fun thing to play some Super Mario World,
we've
done it.
Yes.
It's better.
Yeah.
But like, get real.
It's also very immersive.
CRTs are not coming back.
No. Like, getting that Sony one and messing around with... They sell for way too much. They sell for insane amounts of money. But getting one of those and messing around would be fun. There's no way I would replace my setup with it. And I think it weighs like 100 pounds or something. Come on.
Kepler, the title is real. It was just earlier in the stream. It was the first topic that we did. We are almost at the end of the stream now.
Yeah.
All right.
I hope Digital Foundry keeps making videos about it because it's very interesting to watch, but I don't...
Jesse says, speaking of UFC, do either of you watch it?
Every once in a while, Nick has events and he invites me and I go and that's about it. And I just go to socialize.
I am super not into it. I've always had far more appreciation for finesse-based athleticism than I do for brute force-based athleticism. With that said, I was watching a trailer for some UFC event that maybe has passed now, but was coming up at some point. And I don't know who it was, but he looked like he's probably like a lightweight or middleweight fighter who is phenomenally acrobatic. That was pretty cool, I guess.
I used to really like watching GSP.
I'm really, really not into watching people get brain damaged. And I, you know, UFC has benefits over more traditional sports like boxing in that regard, because the fact that you don't have gigantic pads on your fists means that your brain isn't getting shaken around quite so much, but it's just not something that I personally derive pleasure from, and I don't really enjoy watching.
Bare knuckle to the head's like super bad for brain damage.
Yes, but compared to
bouncy bounce,
40 hits from a
Okay, I see where you're going with it. Watching GSP was really interesting because he was extremely technically good, and he would just like dismantle people. That was really cool.
Johnny Winter says, Linus, last year you talked about some bezel to put between monitors so it made the monitors flow together. What happened to that? Asus actually like tweeted about that recently. I think that project is not actually dead.
Oh, wow.
Lucas says, getting jerked around by Razer support after two dead new laptops in 2 years. I know y'all had a lot of failures too. Any contacts that you can share? Unfortunately, the only contact I have there is my media contact. I don't have any special sales or support contact. You can link them to me saying I'm very disappointed in them right now, but that's really the best that I can do for you at the
moment. I'm not surprised either.
I can tell you that I do have a video coming on probably not switching or not sticking with the Razer Blade Stealth that I selected recently. So there's that.
Nice.
Rohit says, please do a tech wiki on shunt modding and its benefit. Sorry, what? Shunt modding. First hit, do not shunt mod your graphics card.
In all capital letters from Lewis Rosman.
With liquid metal. Oh, well, that would be stupid. Okay. Neat. Oh, this! Okay. So you're just shorting out connections on the graphics card PCB in order to get more voltage out of it. Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. It's pretty niche, though.
Yeah,
I'll consider it. Jesse says, is your trademark ratchet driver a Snap-on? Yes, it is. I have a pink one for you. I own a pink one already. It's my wife's, actually. Dimitri says, flow plane or float plane? Float. Like float, like not sink. Ben says, please talk about Folding Month 2019. I think that was even in here. I think we talked about it on a previous wine show, didn't we?
I thought that happened a few months back.
Oh, here we go. There are some prizes that we're going to be giving away, as well as some that the community has donated. You can check it out on the LTT official Folding Month 2019 thread over on the forum. I will go ahead and drop that in the I will not drop that in the chat. I don't have the chat open. That'll take me a minute. But yes, shout out to Folding Month 2019.
Yeah, it's very active. There's posts in that thread as of like now. So,
Burnsy says, I am financially stupid, so here's some money.
Nice.
It's my birthday next month. I want some LTT merch. What would you recommend for my first purchase? If you are looking for... hold on a second. I really want to just... Oh, man. Creator Studio Classic.
The sweater is, like, really nicely durable.
I mean,
all of it's really nicely durable, but I feel like that sweater's going to hold up for a really long time.
Stealth hoodie's great. Water bottle's great. The underwear, awesome, but they're really expensive, so it kind of depends on your budget. Stealth hoodie is a really good place to start.
Stealth hoodie.
Stealth hoodie and, like, an Elemental shirt or something like that. I know they're not there now, but they'll be back. We're kind of considering bringing back Elemental on an ongoing basis as something that we can just, like, beat the crap out of every once in a while. So it's like, yeah, no one likes it, but it's a good deal.
Sure.
We probably won't do that.
Yeah, that's probably not the best idea.
Noah says, is Floatplane working on separation of LTT TechWiki and TechLink, but under one subscription? So no, they will be separate subscriptions at some point when I'm not lazy. Bubba DeMatt 812 says, hope you don't mind hillbilly humor from the contest you announced yesterday. Oh, we don't mind hillbilly humor. Robert says, can I resell my Red Hat license with these new challenges then? No,
they're only challenging Steam right now. They said they have the plan to challenge other things, but I doubt they're going to go after that.
Tommy Gunn says, hey, Linus, you should really visit the developer of Anno. They're located in my hometown By the way, it's late around here. Yeah, because you're in Germany. All right, then. Robert says, when is the AMD Epic video coming? Very soon, and there will be more than just one. Robert says, remember Area 51? You hear about the YouTubers
today?
That got arrested?
No.
Yeah, they went in the day before, and they got all their electronics, so their camera equipment, lights, and a drone confiscated, like, for good. They got fined $2,200 each. They actually got sentenced to a year in jail, but they're foreign nationals, so I think they worked out a deal where they could pay $2,200, spend 3 days in jail, and then I'm guessing they're never getting let into the U.S. again.
Get the hell back out.
Yeah.
They're foreign nationals. Why would you do that?
Because... No, the memes, I guess.
But, like, something that's always broken my brain, do not break the law in a different country. Like, the people that go to, like, North Korea and, like, steal posters. I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
I get it. You're an activist. That's great.
Find other ways.
But, like...
There's people that, like...
It's a really bad idea.
I don't know how they get them there, but there's people that get USBs filled with, like... North American European stuff into North Korea. Do that. Buy a whole bunch of USBs. Donate them to that group that does that. I don't know much about it, but yeah. Their posters are hilarious. They'll go to different events and they just have like Kim Jong-un faces and you plug the USB into his mouth and then they just like, and it just looks stupid. And then they collect all the USBs at the end of the day and wipe them all and fill them with information and send them to North Korea.
Really?
It's pretty interesting, actually. They have them at... like, different conventions. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. SC Gaming, have you taken a look at GOG? We actually did a collab with GOG that we shot this week. Do you know about this?
I've heard vaguely.
We made the best gaming console as a PC. So we built, like, a console-sized, pretty powerful computer.
Okay.
And we worked with GOG, because really the point we're trying to make is that one of the big benefits of the PC is the library.
Yeah.
And GOG is such a great example of how deep and affordable the PC gaming library is.
Yeah.
And so GOG generously contributed their 500 top-selling games, which was apparently a ton of work for them because they actually had to reach out to every developer to get the okay for this. They gave them all to us to load onto this PC, and we're going to give away the PC at the end
of
the video.
Nice.
Yeah, so... pretty sweet. GOG, good.
One thing that I really like about GOG is it's a platform that you can support that's a gaming platform that you don't have to feel at least marginally weird about.
So Rowan says that reselling games could be a positive for Valve if they allow the sale through their marketplace, allowing them to double dip into the sale of the game. They could also give some to the developer. Yeah, that's probably where we're going to end up, realistically. Gaming Trouble says, make sure you look at the Cube World release for Steam. It's so big news. I don't know what Cube World is. Captain Pepper says, I love my HDD and RAM shirts, but my fave is the TechLinked masking tape shirt. Such a great story behind it. Any more limited edition products coming? I mean, those will only happen when they, like, when inspiration strikes. We're not going to force it.
I don't think we should actually do it, but someone mentioned the other day that we should do the green masking or green painter's tape FPM logo as a shirt.
If you guys want to take on the burden of that inventory, go for it.
We don't have anywhere to put it. We don't have any inventory space.
Okay, let me see. Steven says, first super chat ever. You guys rock. Please send support to UFD Tech. Yeah, we talked about that. Oh, wow, these were a while ago. Oh, boy. Hey, guys, what phone can you recommend to someone who's off contract and paying for their device up front? Would like to shy away from financing. It really depends on your budget. I mean, Samsung's A series is pretty good, but they're still, like, pretty expensive. Anything from OnePlus is good, but they're not that cheap anymore, so that's tough. Pocophone F1. If you can get your hands on one of those, if it's got good band support in your area, it's still a very decent phone, especially with the Google camera mod. Kyle Andrews, hey guys, what phone can you recommend someone who's off Jacob, name another product you can buy and not resell in the world. Thermal camera. I'm serious.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to sign a whole thing that says you're like not a terrorist and it needs to stay in your possession and blah, 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 because it could be used for military applications.
Digital movies.
Sure. Yeah, but no, they meant like... That's the same thing, effectively.
It's not a game.
Okay, that's true.
Digital things are in their own category.
Underwear. I mean, you can resell it, but, like, for all intents and purposes, it's not. It's a consumable. Living says, how often do you run unraid parity checks? Whenever they automatically run. I mean, they don't really just like fall out of parity.
I think he's wondering if you have like a schedule set up or something.
Yeah, it's included with Unraid. I think it's set to run every month by default.
But that I think that's what he was...
Oh, once a month. yeah, sir. How would you feel about having physical games on flash drives? Too expensive. Can't be done. Tommy Gunn. To be mean. Many years we were told that digital distribution is all about anti-piracy and not about reselling, so what would be the issue? Nah. It's more to it than that. Charlie says, please bring back the WAN hoodie. Not happening. Interesting. We actually are planning a video, Bobby, on the LG C9 after the G-Sync update. Apparently, a PC connected to HDMI only does two-channel PCM right now. Big deal if you use ARC to a receiver. Why would you use ARC to a receiver, though? Why wouldn't you just go through your receiver? Does it do G-Sync over HDMI? How the hell does that work? I saw the headline, but I wasn't sure how they were doing it. Oh, interesting. So it's funny that you bring that up because I have a video coming on Asus's BFGD and I'm having a similar issue. How do I get high resolution audio, high definition audio to like a surround or like a multi-channel speaker setup? Because you're going DisplayPort from the computer to the display, and then what? Optical audio is dead and buried. Like, it doesn't do high definition audio. So, all right, get this. HDMI out separately to the receiver.
Oh, God.
Shut up. And then duplicating my display. And then I found this weird app on like GitHub or something that allows you to lock your mouse to your primary display. So you're effectively running a phantom cloned display that did seem to be getting multi-channel audio. Woo.
Bad solution. I didn't fully know how you were going to get there, but the second you said the additional cable, I was just like, oh no. I know exactly what the destination is. I'm not sure how the journey's going to come together.
We're not bringing back the WAN hoodie anytime soon.
Is it even like feasible to do that?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so. I think that's done.
Bruce says, love you and your annoying voice. I've been spamming Floatplane on every vid complaining about YouTube slashing verification. Well, they brought it back, so. Mitch says, will it be possible for us Floatplane peeps who were grandfathered to switch to yearly and still be considered grandfathered for LTT? Wow, I have no idea. That sounds really complicated. I don't know if I want to promise anything there. I'm going to bug you about this till it's real, says Zulmilb. How long until I can buy a Floatplane shirt? I don't know. Daniel says, can't wait for LTX 2020. So very introverted, says, buy Dennis a coffee. Dennis doesn't need coffee. Dr. Don says, what do you think of the Huawei Mate 30? Okay, we talked about that.
And technically, you supply coffee at work anyways.
Simon says, why didn't you guys use a Threadripper for your Windows Mac OS build? Is there a specific reason? Threadripper is like not Zen 2 right now. Threadripper is not amazing performance in single-threaded applications. Hey guys, no secret laugh in live, says Elhart W. I have no idea what you're talking about. Daniel says, watching an Epic phone watching stream. Okay. Robert says, if Google's healthcare is more affordable than the US, then yes, I'd move to Google. I'd love it if they called the country Google. Waldemar says, the court of public opinion is becoming real. Corey says, been the worst week of my life.
Google country.
Oh, wow.
They have Google Earth.
I lost my mother yesterday, and I swear WAN show is the first thing that made me feel a bit better. Well, we're happy to help. Sorry to hear that, dude. DHL will charge an extra courier fee on delivery. Yeah, probably, but I think that might just be taxes and import duty, and I'm pretty sure you're going to get nailed with that regardless, especially if you're in like a VAT country. Oh my goodness, there are so many super chats today. Please, guys, do not send any more. I can't do all of the rest of them. Okay, I already did that one. Mr. Devin Wright says, feedback on in-video merch and content in merch callouts. It's become excessive. Yeah, we know. We're trying to dial back how long they take, so at least it's just like a quick thing. Adam, yes, we intend to review the OnePlus TV as soon as we can get it. Okay. What happened to the YouTube black hole PC Linus mentioned a while ago, says default switched?
A while ago?
That was ages ago. It's like three years ago.
Years, many years.
It ended up being very complicated. Do you remember why it was complicated?
They didn't want us to do it or something, didn't they?
I don't remember. No, I don't think
because
it was that
simple. It's against their terms, though.
Yeah, I don't think that was why we didn't do it.
We were concerned for that reason.
Maybe Nick was concerned. I didn't care.
I'm pretty sure Nick was quite concerned.
All right, then.
Yeah.
Okay, Vincent says, badminton merch when? No time soon. Although, I do want to do an athletic shirt. So that'll be, okay, so we'll do it. I'm not going to do like a racket or anything. That would be crazy.
That's probably good.
All right.
Although I bet you, if you did a fairly limited run of rackets, just enough that you like didn't lose any money off it, and then sold them on location at LTX, so you didn't have to try to ship them or anything, those would sell.
It would be hard to get it right. I'm really picky, and I wouldn't sell anything that I wouldn't use. So it's tough.
Okay.
Last one. I've spent around $300 on the LTT store. Thank you. And still haven't been able to purchase the TechLink shirt along with the Elemental. Elemental will come back, stay tuned, and TechLink will come eventually. We've had supply issues with our shirts. So thanks for watching, guys!
Bye!
This was an hour and a half. I'm sorry, I kept you here for, it's 7. Wow.
That's fine.
Hopefully you didn't have anywhere to be.
Yeah, not really.
Good night, everybody!
Bye!
Sorry.
It's Friday, all I do is stream and they're probably watching this anyways.
All right, then. You know what? I have to pee so bad right now. Like, not even funny. Seasonic, Squishmix, honey. I drank that whole thing of water, like, early in the show. Whoops.